Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Happy Saturday, folks. It's Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. What a week. Holy moly. You know, just when you think it can't get any more tumultuous, it ratchets up. I can't pronounce things this morning. It ratchets up, like, exponentially, right? What a week. But there's some big things bubbling below the surface this week. And I got a lot to discuss with you in this show. Whether or not I get to my story tonight remains to be seen, because there's just stuff we got to cover. Particularly with the midterms 31 days. Yes, 31 days away. 31 days, folks. 31 days. Well, look, I think you all know the back and forth. It's been covered by most of the media. Some of the media has kind of ignored it, as you would expect. The back and forth on Ford's story falling apart there in the Senate hearings, and the complete discredit given to the story of that leech, Avenatti, the attorney, the Stormy Daniels attorney who was representing the Sweltnick gal, you know, the gang rape accuser. I mean, totally fell apart. And then the second gal, Ramirez, that completely fell apart. And the Ford story just gets worse and worse and worse for Ford. So, Sweltnick, by the way, may be prosecuted. Ramirez, who kind of retracted her statement, I think is off the hook. But Chuck Grassley and the Judiciary Committee, and the Republicans, finally, gee, they got a spine, really. Or at least we're seeing a vertebrae. How's that? They're going to go after these people. There were two Senate staffers, two congressional staffers arrested this week, one for leaking, one for doxing. Doxing is when they release all the public all the private information, phone calls, cell numbers, home phone, personal address of certain senators, McConnell, Lindsey Graham, Mike Lee, several others. That is really good news. There hasn't been an arrest on Capitol Hill for this kind of atrocious behavior like forever. So maybe finally people are going to be held accountable. And Christie Blasey Ford, we come to find out all sorts of sordid activities were happening behind the scenes, which are much more important than her story itself, the holes in her story, the lack of cooperation, all the stuff you've heard. I don't want to cover that with you this morning. That's not my job. My job is to bring you the news behind the news. My job is to bring you the dots that connect to the big picture. The little picture in this, believe it or not, is not her testimony. It's not even her accusation. It is what and who is behind her accusation. It is why the accusation was brought. And by the way, it was not to derail Kavanaugh. I mean, that's a byproduct that they would have loved. It's not to tear him apart, although that's a byproduct that they love, or in the alternative, don't care about. This is an attack on the Constitution. Understand what's at play here. Understand the significance of what we saw over the last, 18 days now, and particularly this week. This is really significant. Understand how the violence of the left is playing into this. Understand that the frustration of the left with the Kavanaugh confirmation, and particularly if what I projected 9 months ago, and that is no blue wave, in fact, a mini red wave in the Senate, and who knows what, a red tide not a wave, in the House comes to pass. The Democrats, who are not Democrats, they are progressives. There's a big difference. The screaming memes that you see on TV, the chants, the accosting in elevators of Jeff Flake, who is pathetic, all this stuff is orchestrated. It's paid for. It's planned. It was planned in advance. This is not some poor gal who was thrown under the bus by the Democrats, although she probably was in a way. This is another deep state attempt to take Donald Trump down. And I'm going to go over some stuff with you this morning, which you have not heard, I'm almost sure, behind the scenes. If you remember last week, I told you that, and, you know, still nobody's covering it. It's unbelievable. But Christie Blasey Ford, her maiden name was Christie Blasey. And it just so happens that her father was a high mucky muck in the CIA, ran the CIA Black Ops Bank. And one of the things that the CIA Black Ops Bank, listen to last week's show, I'm not going to go into detail here, was the Ultra MK Mind Control Project. And I told you last week that her testimony, at least of the incident, I mean, the rest of it, you know, couldn't remember, you know, who brought her there, who brought her home, blah, blah, blah. Her four witnesses, you know, evaporated, or worse, they completely refuted her story. You know, she couldn't remember if she gave the notes of her therapy to the Washington Post. I mean, it was kind of a pathetic display, particularly by somebody who has a PhD, right? This lady is not an uneducated lady. Do you know how many papers you have to write to get a PhD? You have to write a lot of papers. Yet the letter that she supposedly wrote has all sorts of typos, grammaticals, capitalization errors, and it refers to her best friend, Leyland, who, by the way, completely uncorroborated her story. In fact, not only did Leyland, and you may or may not have heard this, but in her third interview with the FBI, not only did Leyland say, there was no party, I don't recall anything, she never said anything, I don't know anything about this, she also said, I don't even know Brett Kavanaugh. So obviously, she could not have been a witness to this attempted whatever by Kavanaugh. I digress. Last week, I told you about Blasey's father being involved with the CIA. I think that we know by now, based on this Trump collusion, FISA, Peter Strzok, John Brennan, you know, the whole cabal of traitorous folks up there, Comey, Baker, you name it. I think we know by now that there is a deep state. That's a fact. I think we know by now there is a shadow government. That's a fact. I think we know that the shadow government and the deep state reach much further down than just the top of the FBI, the CIA, and certain other agencies like State Department. And I think that that's been proven over the last several months by the Project Veritas videos, where they have been going to kind of middle management, lower management folks, and doing an amazing expose of these deep state operatives in lower positions in all these organizations who are actively committing treason, or at least sedition, by not doing and undoing and obstructing the edicts of their boss, who is Donald Trump. You know, it's Donald Trump to the head of the department, to the next, to the next, to the next, to these people. So that's another fact. The deep state is far more entrenched. Thank you, Barry Obama. The deep state is far more entrenched than most people give it credit for. Number three, we know this as a fact. The left is becoming more and more violent. Screaming, shouting. There was some poor gal who was pro-life, who was roundhouse kicked in the face up in Canada. That creep, by the way, lost his job. But that's besides the point. There is, and you can check this out for yourself. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it this morning. There is actual conversations going on Twitter between alt-lefties who are forming terror cells. I'm not making this up. Go to naturalearthnews.com. Naturalearthnews.com. Or naturalnews.com. I'm sorry. I forget exactly what the website is. I got so much stuff here on my desk here in the broadcast room that I can't even keep it straight. That's how much I have talked to you this morning about. Go to naturalnews.com. Is it Natural News producer? Yeah, naturalnews.com. And you will find a bunch of videos there posted by folks, some of whom are kind of correspondence broadcasters with Alex Jones, who can be out there sometimes. But I'll tell you what, they have the actual tweets of these people talking about what kind of armament they need, how to conceal weapons, how big a kill team needs to be to go into a senator or a Supreme Court justice's home and wipe out their family. And they talk about an activation day where the cells will come alive and go out and do their murderous, treasonous mayhem. I think if you've watched Antifa for the past year or two, you know, their exploits on campuses all across the country at demonstrations, you know, coming to these demonstrations armed with knives and bats and guns, altercations between them and Trump supporters, their attacks, including on women. I don't know if you remember the video here about 6 months ago of this poor gal with a Trump hat that got, like, sprayed in the face from 6 inches away with pepper spray by one of these goons. You know, who cares? The left, who cares so much about women? So that's fact number three. The left is becoming more frustrated, and as it becomes more frustrated, it is becoming more violent. Fact number four. This violence is being egged on by the top echelon of the left. Barry Obama, Valerie Jarrett, Loretta Lynch, John Brennan, Maxine Waters, Chuck Schumer, Cory Booker, Kamala Harris. I mean, I can go down a long list of names who basically are condoning this violence or not condemning this violence, exhorting their folks to get in people's face, etc., etc., etc. So that's fact number four. Fact number five is that the deep state, this entrenched deep state, tried to pull a sting operation on Kavanaugh to get to Trump that is almost identical when you reconstruct it, as was the Russia sting, which has gone nowhere with Trump. That same series of coordinated leaks to the media and the whipped up false frenzy and the accusations without substantiation and the calls for investigation. Do you see the similarity here between what they did in a condensed time period against Kavanaugh to what they have done over an elongated period, 2 years, against Trump? This is the MO of the deep state. Now, I brought to your attention Christine Blasey, maiden name, the link she has with the CIA through her dad, and the link she has with mind control. And I threw out a hypothesis last week. It was, other than that dot, it was not substantiated, other than her testimony, over the, and by the way, I'm not doing the whole segment right now. We're going to get to that later in the show. I'm giving you kind of a taste, a teaser for you to think about. And there's other things I'm going to be covering between now and then. But as that taste, as that teaser, the evidence has now come forward that my hypothesis, you know, the little old hayseed in Wyoming, I mean, Rancher Reed out here in the sticks. Guess what, folks? I was right. Or should I say I was right again? Wait till I share the information, which, of course, none of the other media is either not talking about, doesn't even know about, or has barely mentioned. Wait till I share with you the revelations which have come my way this week that not only significantly substantiate my hypothesis last week, which was, to sum it up for you, her believable recitation of this attack you know, insert the name Kavanaugh, could have been, since I think we know by now it was not Kavanaugh, could have been mind control. And I'm sure some of you shook your heads and went, oh my God, he's off the deep end here. He's on this mind control kick. And by the way, for those of you who have not listened to it, I did two shows on mind control. Type it in the search bar. Listen to those shows, folks. Voice to skull mind control. Cooperatively developed between the Russians and the Americans. Think about all these events, these mass murders, the look in people's eyes, you know, the perp's eyes, their mannerisms, the similarities of them being on psychotropic drugs, as is Christine Ford for her anxieties. And then take her stuttering, half-baked, I don't know, I'll have to check, on virtually her whole story, other than the events that she claims happened, which she delivered with a surety, with a credible tone. None of this adds up, except that if she believed what she was saying, and since what she was saying did not happen, and since she is believable in how she recounts what did not happen, something occurred, it seems to this little hayseed in Wyoming, to make her believe that what she was saying is true. Remember, there is truth, and then there is the personal perception of truth. We have all been in the situation, either with friends or ourselves, where we are adamant, we are earnest, we are sincere in saying XYZ happened or didn't happen. And we believe it. And we can promote our position with surety, with convincing surety. But that doesn't make it the truth. That makes it our truth, what we believe fervently. And the only way for that type of truth to be implanted in somebody's mind is through some mind control technique, whether self-imposed or whether external. And I'm going to tie this in for you later in the show, and you are going to, your jaw is going to hit the table when I tell you what I have researched, found out, and seen through all the back channels that I have contact with. I mean, it's unbelievable. And remember the five facts I gave you at the beginning of this show. The deep state and shadow government exist. The deep state and shadow government are far more entrenched than we had supposed. They are dedicated to the takedown of Trump and anyone around Trump. And a Supreme Court nominee is a really good way to get to Trump. They are dedicated to the destruction of the Constitution. Remember, progressives can only achieve their goals of control and perpetual power by successful attacks on the three pillars of American values: faith, family, and the Constitution. I've said it a million times. I'm going to tie all this in. And you're going to be shocked. Shocked. But anyway, that's a preamble for you. We're going to talk about a couple other stories which the media has not covered at all this week, which should have been. We're going to talk about what was really going on Capitol Hill with these so-called protesters, these screaming, raucous, ill-behaved, rude, left-wing wingnuts, including, by the way, when Jeff Flake was accosted in the elevator last week, which made him go back to the Democrats and say, yeah, let's do this extra FBI investigation, blah, blah, blah. Okay? Because it all ties in. This is all related. None of this is an accident. Let me repeat that. None of this is an accident. This is preordained, premeditated, preplanned, and pre-financed. And the targets, in this particular case of the Constitution, the secondary targets are the other two pillars, faith and family. You know, the more they can promote women and hatred of men and drive a wedge between genders, the more they disrupt the family pillar. whatever they can do to stop a judge at any level, but particularly the Supreme Court, kind of the backstop of the judicial system, whatever they can do to stop a judge who interprets the Constitution literally, an originalist, and therefore bolsters, strengthens the significance of the Constitution in American life, American values, and rule of law, the more likely they can get a justice or a judge in place. And you've seen it in the Ninth Circuit. You've seen it in the other circuit courts, which Obama flipped. There were 13 courts. 12 were conservative. When Obama got done, 4 were conservative, 11 were liberal, some of them loony left liberal like the Ninth and Fourth Circuits. The more they can do to get interpretive judges in, judges who don't regard the Constitution as a fixed cornerstone of American values, but rather as a living, malleable document that their rulings can mold to whatever the political winds are at the time, the more successful their attack on that pillar. And that pillar, by the way, is the one, the constitutional pillar, is the one that anchors the other two, family and faith. You know, the amendments, the Bill of Rights, freedom of religion. So we're going to talk about some other stories. we're going to talk about some things which have come to light, which point indelibly, irrefutably, to the fact this was an orchestrated hit. And I'm telling you that it doesn't matter if it was Brett Kavanaugh, if it was that gal, Amy, whatever her name is, the kind of the second pick, the gal that Dianne Feinstein, when she was in her hearing for an appeals court judge position, Dianne Feinstein says the doctrine, i.e. the Catholic doctrine, is very strong in you. That's not a good thing, right? The attack on faith. Folks, this all ties in. It all so ties in. It's so much part of a much bigger picture, way beyond these hearings. All these were our symptoms. What we have seen for the last 18 days are symptoms of a massive cancer in the American system. And that cancer is the Democratic Party, which is no longer the Democratic Party. It is the Socialist Democratic Party, at best. It is the Progressive, i.e. Communist Democratic Party, more likely. There is, well, I'll get to that. We're going to finish up the show after we do this rather extensive segment on Christy Blasey Ford, mind control, which I threw out as a hypothesis last week because I couldn't figure out how somebody could lie so well unless they actually believed their lie. I mean, this is just common sense stuff. And now this week I've come up with proof for you. And then we're going to finish up the show with some stuff you don't know about election tampering that's going on in advance in the midterms, both domestically and internationally by, no, not Russia, China. Do you hear the Dems saying anything about Russian or international interference in the upcoming elections? Chinese interference in the election? Remember how they've been jumping up and down for 2.5 years over Russian interference in the 2016 election? Not a peep. You know why? Because China is trying to take Trump down. Because Trump's tariffs are kicking their butt over there in China. It is putting a severe crimp in their economy. America is winning the trade war. And the Chinese have figured out that there's virtually no one, maybe Pence, I don't know, there's virtually no one else in the American government that's gonna stick with this tariff trade battle to bring China under control, to stop their industrial espionage. By the way, there was another story on that this week. We don't even have time to get into that. Where Chinese agents have infiltrated American companies, particularly tech companies, and installed, like, reporting chips in the mainframes and the servers of these companies. And these chips capture all their confidential information. These same companies, by the way, like Google and Apple, They're kowtowing to China, to the Chinese market over there, by or trying to infiltrate the Chinese market for monetary reasons, not for ideological reasons. And in the course of doing so, are assisting the Chinese Communist government in a huge human rights, free speech crackdown. I mean, these tech companies are dangerous. And as I have said before, they need to be broken up. The antitrust laws need to be invoked. They are way too powerful. They are way too multinational. They are way too no longer American. They're kind of their own little nation states. And they're the people who control information. They're the people who are allowing China to play its election interfering games, while at the same time, they try and make money in the Chinese market by once again allowing China to use their technology to control the Chinese population. Just as, I might add, their direction, misdirection, either tamping down or raising up in rankings certain groups, certain news in the United States is doing the same thing here, but on a lesser scale. In China, people are getting carted away to camps and executed. Gee, the mainstream media doesn't tell you that, do they? Here, they're so far, they're just stifling voices. They're promoting an ideology. I might add that they're promoting an ideology in sync with the Democrats. Why would they do this? Well, never mind their own ideological bent. But who is more likely to invoke antitrust laws against the tech giants, folks? The Republicans, particularly with Trump at the helm. And the last thing a behemoth that no longer has country as a conscience needs is somebody taking them apart, taking from them their power. You've seen what the left does when power is removed from their greedy little fingers. You've watched it for 2.5 years now. You saw it on full and rather frightening display the last 2 weeks, and particularly the last 3 or 4 days in Washington, D.C. And you've seen it coming for a long time. Now imagine what Google and Apple and Microsoft and Twitter, imagine what they would do to maintain their power with the control they have of information. This is not a wild leap to presuppose what they might do as the next step. Right now it's just censorship. But we're going to talk about that in this show too. You know, I was going to tell you a story. I was going to tell you a story about elk hunting. And in a way, it kind of ties into this show, but not really. And we have so much to cover. I'm going to ask your indulgence this morning. I may not get to my story, in which case, I promise you, I'll make it up with two next week. Right now, we have much more important things to cover, as fun as the stories are. So let's start, shall we? All right, let's start with the stories that have not been covered, just a few. I mean, there are a zillion of them this week. You'll find these interesting. So in Brea, California, they pulled over this truck, the state police, a black Toyota Corolla whatever truck. And he was a little weird. They searched the car. And they discovered a number of shrapnel-filled improvised explosive devices, IEDs, you know, like the roadside bombs in Afghanistan and Iraq. The body cam footage of the arrest has not been released. And the man's bail has been set at $500,000. And we now have his name, which is Saleh Ali. Gee, what do you think, Saleh, baby? What do you think his motives were? And what do you think he planned to do with those shrapnel-filled bombs? Not a peep in the media about this, folks. This is a significant Islamist terror attack that was thwarted in California. Not a peep of it in the news. Instead, we listen to the salacious allegations of Avenatti's Sveltnik client, who's probably going to get indicted for perjury. And then, did you hear about the Dreamer? You know, those amazing kids, the Dreamers. Yeah, you know. They have dreams too, as Barry would say. Well, Los Angeles police arrested an illegal alien who had been deported 7 times previously. 7 times. His name is Raymond Escobar. He was charged with brutally beating and killing at least 3 people with a baseball bat over the course of several months. He's suspected in a number of other beating deaths in the Los Angeles area. He mainly targeted hobos. And when they arrested him, the baseball bat with the dried blood of his victims, the numerous victims, was still on the bat. His parents, by the way, lived in Texas, and they vanished in August. And authorities are pretty sure he offed them, too. The bottom line of this, the mention in the mainstream media, zero. Zero. Right? Zero. Then there's a story of a murder in Memphis, Tennessee. The president of the Memphis Chamber of Commerce was gunned down on the front steps of the National Civil Rights Museum. This is just last Thursday, folks. Now, you would think that, you know, the Democrats, with all their gun control stuff and, you know, this race stuff they love to play, you'd think they'd be all over this, right? Not a mention of it. Not a mention of it. Oh, and by the way, it just so happens that the president of the Chamber of Commerce was white, and the perp, who they have not caught yet, was described as, quote, a black male with dreadlocks, unquote. Move along. Nothing to see here, folks. Nope. Oh, we don't need to cover this story. Mm-mm. Not important. Then there's another illegal alien story that nobody covered. Illegal alien from Mexico. So he's on a Virginia fishing vessel. His name is Franklin Freddy Meave Vasquez. And he's under a deportation order. And then he applied for DACA status, you know, Dreamer. So he's technically, since he's applied for it, he is managed because of our Obama era, incredibly unbelievable anti-American immigration laws. Even though he's under a deportation order, the fact that he's applied for DACA status, which, by the way, goes back to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. I'll tie that in for you in the show, too. Because they blocked Trump's DACA order, which was, we're stopping DACA. So this guy, because of the Ninth Circuit, blocking Trump's order to stop DACA, applies for DACA status, thereby temporarily thwarting, maybe permanently thwarting, his outstanding deportation order. And then, so he can't be found, he works on this fishing vessel in Virginia. Vasquez, by the way, was arrested in March for the crime of abduction by force. I think they call that kidnapping. He was released on minimal bail. Gee, where have we heard this before? And that's when he went to work on the fishing vessel. So, like, you know, he kind of disappeared. And then one day last week, on the fishing vessel, he picks up a hammer and a knife and starts attacking his crewmates. One person was killed. A number of others were severely injured. And a passing cruise ship had to come to the aid of the remaining crew members. Vasquez, by the way, was released on bail again. Again, despite a detainer order by ICE. And where is he now? No one knows. No one knows. Maybe he's in D.C. protesting the Kavanaugh nomination. You know, that's plausible. Anyway, those are 4 stories out of 100 that I selected that weren't covered because A, media was obsessed with this carnival in Washington, D.C., and B, because it does not fit the narrative of the left. Now, let's go to our next segment here. Let's go to I don't know how many of you saw that footage of Jeff Flake in an elevator with three women who are screaming at him, just screaming, look at me, listen to me, I'm a survivor, you need to listen to survivors. You know, the minute I saw that, it was so well rehearsed, they were so strident, that I knew somebody had whipped them into a frenzy. I mean, this was not your typical gal who is truly the victim of some kind of, you know, really bad sexual encounter, whether it's rape or whatever, who's trying to talk with a senator to truly impart her feelings and her emotions. These are screaming shrills, repeating rehearsed lines. I mean, it struck me right away. Of course, Jeff Flake, I don't know what his IQ is. I suppose it's one over you can tie your shoe. He was obviously completely dismayed, disgruntled, upset, ashamed, I don't know of what, and it was that tirade in that elevator by those three women who prompted him to go back in, meet with the Democrats, and work out this supposed week delay for that FBI investigation, which started last week. Anyway, let me tell you something about, and this goes back to our five facts. Fact number five, everything is orchestrated. Everything is pre-planned. Everything is pre-financed. Jeff Flake was targeted because he's Flake. There was a reason those women got into an elevator with Jeff Flake. It wasn't by happen chance. He was their target. And we have come to find out now, and gee, I mean, I heard a little bit about this on Fox. You didn't hear about it anywhere else. Let me tell you about this babe. Let me tell you about this babe, Anna Maria Archila. That's Archila. Well, it turns out that Anna Baby, along with her buddy, her shrill buddy, whoever that was, this gal who confronted Jeff Flake and who literally delayed and almost scuttled the appointment of a Supreme Court judge of the United States. I want you to think about this as I go through this little segment for you. She is the co-executive director for the Center for Popular Democracy and the Center for Popular Democracy Action Fund. So that this all ties in for you, the Center for Popular Democracy is primarily funded by George Soros. The other gal is also a member of that organization. Her name was Maria Gallagher. If you go to the Center for Popular Democracy website, you will see Anna Maria Archila right there front and center, folks. And by the way, she was also on CNN and several other things after this incredible, shrill, nasty tirade in this elevator. Let me quote from the Free Beacon. Quote, George Soros is one of the largest funders to the CPD, right? The Center for Popular Democracy. Soros provided the CPD with $130,000 from the Open Societies Foundation to promote open society in 2014 and $1,164,500 in 2015. Soros provided an additional $705,000 from the Open Society Policy Center in 2016. The three biggest funders, folks, of the CPD, this is according to a 2014 document, is the WIS Foundation, way left outfit, the Ford Foundation, which is concerning, and George Soros Open Society Foundation. By the way, you can see this whole article if you want under bigleaguepolitics.com/woman-who-confronted-flake-in-elevator. Run Soros-funded organization if you'd like to read the whole article. But I'm not done, as they say on those late-night infomercials. There's more. So you know our gal there who in the Queens who won her beat out one of the long-standing Democratic congressmen in that primary. I mean, I've talked about her, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a acknowledged and admitted Democratic socialist, which is what the Democratic Party is. And by the way, just endorsed by Barry Obama. Now, why do you think Barry Obama would be endorsing somebody who proclaims themselves proudly a socialist? Huh. Could it be that he's a capitalist? Why would he endorse somebody that says the Constitution should be thrown out? Is that because, despite his oath of office, he feels the same? Well, anyway, I digress. Anyway, Alexandria, baby, from the Queens, gave a speech to Boston University college students. Gee, that's great. I hope that you parents out there who are paying 50 or 60 grand a year for your snowflake to attend Boston College are really happy that the guest speaker is Alexandria, baby. I think it's just great. Okay, you'll particularly like it, by the way, when Alexandria and her ilk get control of Congress and they decide that you rich white folks, the only thing you're really good for is to donate 80% of your retirement savings to their social causes so they can buy votes. You'll really like that. And by the way, you know who will be in the front row screaming for them to do it? Ha! Your kid that you sent to be indoctrinated at Boston College. How's that for karma? Anyway, I digress once again. All right, so Alexandria Cortez is speaking to the Boston College group. And she started hailing activism. In other words, get in their face. As a solution, right? Remember my five facts at the beginning of the show, the violence part. And she boasted to the crowd that one of the women who had cornered Judiciary Committee member Jeff Flake, the gals I just talked to you about, and yelled at him is, and I quote now from Alexandria Cortez, quote, Anna Maria Arkilla is from our district, is from the Queens. In fact, she is an immigration activist, which just goes to show intersectionally and how interwoven all these fights are. Gee, that's kind of my point, isn't it? Because she is putting everything on the line and risking deportation. In other words, folks, this gal is not only a premeditated, pre-planned, pre-programmed, pre-trained, Soros-funded, alt-left activist. She is an illegal alien. She's an illegal alien. Anna Maria Arkilla, the gal you saw screaming at a United States senator and who succeeded in delaying the vote for Supreme Court justice for a week and almost scuttling it, almost scuttling a nomination, is an illegal alien funded by George Soros, being praised by Cortez, a self-announced socialist. Are you kind of seeing the correlations here? Are you seeing some dots starting to float around out there? By the way, along those lines, it is not a small leap, or it is not a large leap, to know that if Americans, so-called Americans, and particularly Americans who are in public office or running for federal public office, condone an illegal alien in the country illegally, funded by probably the biggest left-wing monster of our time, George Soros. If she claps her hands because this gal stridently gets in the face of a United States senator and holds up a constitutional process such as the appointment of a Supreme Court justice, it's not hard to see how she and her ilk in the progressive Democrats, in the social Democrats, the socialist Democrats, in the last 2 weeks, here have been proposals for voting and voter eligibility by these same Democrats, the Democratic Party. Number one Democrat said, and was joined by others, in Congress said that we need to lower the voting age to 16 years old. Well, yeah, I mean, you got control of the school systems, and obviously a 16-year-old doesn't know what the hell's going on. So by all means, let's let them vote. 144 Democratic representatives in the United States Congress. Let me repeat that. 144 Democratic representatives in the Congress of the United States of America signed a letter and tried to bring a bill that would allow illegal aliens to vote in federal elections. As you know, because I've reported this to you, several sanctuary cities, such as San Francisco and some suburbs of Boston, are allowing illegal aliens to vote in local elections as I do this show. In addition, there was a Democratic mucky muck in Illinois who is talking to his legions of sheep, his left-wing sheep, just a week ago, and I quote him, "Vote as often as you can and as much as you can get away with." Let me repeat that. Vote as often as you can and as much as you can get away with. But there's no voter fraud out there, folks. No. There's nothing to see here. I mean, there's no reason to have voter ID. There's no reason to clean up our voting rolls. There's no reason to get rid of electronic machines, 17% of which are owned by or funded by George Soros, all of which are probably susceptible to attacks by Chinese and Russian cyber intelligence people. No, there's no reason to do any of this. But we ought to give 16-year-olds the right to vote and illegal aliens the right to vote. And then make sure that everybody, the illegals and the 16-year-olds and the rest of the Democratic progressives, vote, quote, as often and as much as you can get away with. We have an election in 31 days, folks. Keep your eyes open at those polls. Make sure procedures are being followed to verify the true identity of voters. I mean, be aware. If you see any irregularities, report it immediately. I think after watching the last week, I think we can agree on my sixth fact. There is nothing that the Democrats, particularly the leadership who controls the sheep, there's nothing they won't do to A, get power back, B, exercise that power, and C, exercise it in such a way that the power will then be perpetual. There is nothing they won't do. Let me underline that. Nothing. Nothing. And that includes, by the way, this increasing spiral of violence, which is on display. You go to naturalnews.com. Listen to those videos. I mean, some of it's kind of far out there, but I'll tell you what, the proof is right in their commentators' hands. The actual tweets talking about weaponry, cells, activation days, targets, how many people are needed to wipe out the family of a senator. I mean, then we're not just talking about a senator now. We're talking about their entire family, which is almost more than a political assassination. It's a genocide. Remember that there were over 130 million people exterminated over the last 100 years by leftists. Which, by the way, because the left either doesn't know history or wants to confuse it, leftists include Mr. Hitler, Mr. Adolf himself, the Democratic National Socialist Party. Gee, kind of close to the Democratic Socialist Party. Huh, imagine that. Must be a coincidence. The Democratic National Socialist Party, also known as the Nazi Party. Left wing, folks, not right wing. Stalin, who, by the way, called his followers, like the sheeple that we see out there on the left today, useful idiots. Useful idiots. You know, he hated his enemies, and of course he killed them. 40 million or so, it's estimated. But he despised and had no respect for his own followers. Useful idiots, quote unquote. and don't think that the Democratic progressive hierarchy in this country right now doesn't think the same of their idiot followers. Their code pink automons, their pussy hat marchers, their shrill elevator screamers, their beer party drinkers outside Mitch McConnell's house. I don't know if you saw those clips. I mean, just unbelievable. This is on purpose, folks. On purpose. One of Alinsky's rules, sow chaos. Create chaos. Chaos is the friend of the radical. And the Dems really don't care, in fact, despise you and I. Despise us. We are subhuman. And they would like nothing more than to disarm us for a number of reasons. I'm not going to go into that this morning. But I will do, I'll be doing a show in the next 2 or 3 months that will go into those reasons why they want to disarm us. And it has nothing to do with public safety. Trust me on that. All right, our next segment. Boy, we got a lot of stuff. Holy moly. Let me tie in this deep state stuff for you. So it turns out, over the course of the last week, what's emerged is a picture of Dr. Christine Ford, Christine Blasey Ford, father in the CIA. It appears that she, shall we say, stated several material untruths while under oath and may in fact be prosecuted for it. Number one, she said she could not fly. Number two, she said she didn't know if she had given her therapy notes of 2012 to the Washington Post. Number three, she told them that she didn't know anything. She hadn't talked to anybody prior to this letter being mysteriously leaked by somebody in the Democratic Party and close to the Senate Judiciary Committee. But we find out, and I'm not going to go over all the rest of the crap with Dianne Feinstein and her staff choosing this Katz, this ultra-left-wing attorney to represent her on August 8th and all that. I did that last week. Listen to that show. And once again, I was like a week ahead of everybody else. But it seems that she has a BFF, a best friend. And her name is McLean. And it appears that, contrary to her response under oath to the Republican prosecutor gal, who, by the way, wrote a blistering report on Ford's inconsistencies and untruths. You should read that report. She represented in front of the world, cameras, the whole nine yards, under oath, to this prosecutor gal that was doing the questioning for the Republicans on the Judiciary Committee, that she hadn't talked to anybody, and that she had never, it was kind of a strange question, I thought about it at the time, when the prosecutor asked her. She said, have you ever coached anybody on how to take a lie detector test and pass it? And Ford, you know, pretended to think about it. She goes, oh, no. Mm-mm, I wouldn't know anything about that. Well, it turns out that her boyfriend of 6 years has come forward with a sworn statement that, in fact, he witnessed her coaching this McLean gal in 2012, thereabouts. And McLean wanted to be coached because she was, hold on to your hats, joining the FBI, or wanted to join the FBI as an FBI staff attorney. Are you beginning to see some dots fall into place here, guys and girls? I want to be inclusive, you know. Diversity is so important. Anyway, McLean, now coached by Ford, gets the job at the FBI. McLean is alt-left, deep state. In fact, shortly after Trump's election, she resigns from the FBI. but she maintains her contacts. And it appears, and I reported to you last week, that Christie Blasey Ford was not even in California. The gal who said she couldn't fly anywhere, which your boyfriend in his sworn statement says is BS, she flew everywhere. And what she admitted, if you listen closely to her testimony, herself, that she was in Delaware and took a plane to New Hampshire. Supposedly she was there for her grandmother's funeral. Well, I'll give her that. Maybe she was. But it just so happens that while she was in Delaware, she also met and played around on the beach with her BFF, former FBI attorney that she had coached on how to pass a lie detector test to get the job, McLean. And it appears that the letter, remember, McLean has maintained her contacts with the other deep state operatives, as I'm going to prove to you here in a moment, in the FBI, particularly with the counterintelligence branch of the FBI. Does that ring a bell? Oh, that's right, Peter Strzok. Peter Strzok, FBI counterintelligence. Lisa Page. Huh. McCabe. Comey. Amazing. Amazing how all the dots are rotating around right now. And it seems that right after this Delaware deal, this new letter comes into the Senate Judiciary Committee. And the letter, if you read it, you can see it on the Senate Judiciary Committee site. Grassley's done a great job of posting all this stuff. Is filled with, and I'm speaking now as an author, I know a little bit about this. It has grammatical errors. It has capitalization errors. It has punctuation errors. It is not the type of letter that you would expect to be written by a PhD who earned that rather lofty degree by writing technical papers, which we're going to discuss here in just a moment, by writing technical papers for 12 years, about the time it takes to get a PhD normally, paper after paper after paper. Scientific papers. And in addition, here's a really unusual little tidbit for you. You know, her other best friend back there in high school, the one that she relied on to corroborate her story of Kavanaugh's sexual attack, the one who questioned three times, never wavered in her story, in fact, added to it, saying, not only don't I remember the party, I don't remember any incident like this. She never told me about an incident like this. And I've never met Brett Kavanaugh. I don't know him. Her name is Leyland. Let me repeat that. Her name is Leyland. Except in this letter to the Senate Judiciary Committee with all these oxymoron, given it's supposedly written by a PhD person, her best high school friend is referred to as he, not she. Now, you would think that if you wrote a letter and you were recounting how your best high school friend was going to corroborate your story of this horrible sexual attack by the Supreme Court nominee 37 years ago, you'd probably remember whether it was a he or she. And you certainly would not say he if it was she. What do you think? Ah, but it gets better, folks. I'm just getting warmed up here. You haven't heard any of this stuff, have you? I can imagine a couple million of you sitting there shaking your heads right now going, oh, my God. Well, the oh, my God is about to become oh, my God. Because it seems that Leyland, poor Leyland, who was dragged into this, and testified to the FBI in this secondary investigation that was occasioned by an illegal alien in an elevator, paid for by George Soros. It seems that Leyland was accosted by, and there are text messages which the FBI has proving it, by someone on behalf of the alt-left, and pressured to change her testimony so that she was no longer testifying, that she didn't know about any party, there was no party, she had never been told about it, she doesn't know anything about it, and she never met Brett Kavanaugh. She was pressured into changing that testimony. to support Christy Ford's story. And do you know who did the pressuring? Ah, the light bulb's blinking. I couldn't believe it myself, to be honest with you. McLean. That's right, McLean. McLean, the ex-FBI agent with Deep State FBI agent, the alt-left babe who was coached on how to beat the FBI lie detector test to get the FBI attorney job, who worked closely with the counterintelligence division, which included Peter Strzok and some other names I'm going to give you here in just a second. She went to Leyland and pressured her to change her testimony. That's a felony, folks. It's actually a number of felonies. The one that comes to mind immediately is called witness tampering. I believe that Paul Manafort just pled guilty to witness tampering. And that was for a one-minute phone conversation with one of Mueller's witnesses. In this case, we have McLean sending repeated text messages in addition to personal contact. Ah, but it gets better. It gets better. Yes, it does. McLean, it appears, was the beach buddy that poor Christy Ford, spent time with on that beach in Delaware when she was supposed to be in California because she couldn't fly. And it appears, given the discrepancy between the content and construction of this letter to the Judiciary Committee, that Miss McLean probably wrote that letter for Miss Ford. It gets better, folks. I'm not done. You're right on the right side. Radio infomercial is not done. We have more. Guess who Miss McLean is now represented by? A guy by the name of Loftman. Do you remember the name Loftman? I've brought it up to you before. I brought it up to you almost, 9 months or a year ago when I did my show on Comey and Brennan and all those traitorous scum. David Loftman was the fourth in command on a hierarchical level of the Department of Justice at the time the Russia probe began. And guess what department of the DOJ he worked in with close liaison with the same department over in the FBI? Oh, yes, counterintelligence. Right. Are you beginning to see these dots all come together? I mean, it's unbelievable. Let me give you some more information on this because it's unbelievable. I'm going to quote. This is a Wall Street Journal. A friend of Christine Blasey Ford told FBI investigators that she felt pressured by Dr. Ford's allies to revisit her initial statement that she knew nothing about an alleged sexual assault by a teenage Brett Kavanaugh. Leland Kaiser, who Dr. Ford has said was present at the gathering where she was allegedly assaulted in the 1980s, told investigators that Monica McLean, a retired Federal Bureau of Investigation agent and a friend of Dr. Ford, just the same gal I've been talking to you about, folks, had urged her to clarify her statement. David Loftman is Miss McLean's attorney. His statement, by the way, folks, typical deep state, Saul Alinsky, deny everything, admit nothing, divert attention. Quote, any notion or claim that Miss McLean pressured Leland Kaiser to alter Miss Kaiser's account of what she recalled concerning the alleged incident between Dr. Ford and Brett Kavanaugh is absolutely false. So, in the spy world, you have handlers. So, Monica McLean, folks, was Christy Blasey Ford's handler. And David Loftman is her defense, her legal defense. There's another DOJ FBI attorney by the name of Bromwich, B-R-O-M-W-I-C-H. Guess what? Also FBI DOJ attorney. And he worked with David Loftman. And he is one of the attorneys representing Christie Blasey Ford. And he was also in that circle. We'll call it the Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, Andrew McCabe, Comey, Brennan circle. Bottom line is, Christie Blasey Ford, whose father was in the CIA, who funded mind control projects for the CIA, Christie Blasey Ford, it appears, was selected by a group of politically connected FBI and DOJ officials for the express purpose of targeting Kavanaugh. It's part of the deep state anti-Trump network. It is all a contrived hit job. It is the Russia investigation condensed into the Supreme Court nomination. David Loftman, to be specific for you, was Department of Justice National Security Division Deputy Assistant Attorney General in charge of counterintelligence, cybersecurity, counterespionage, and export controls. He, by the way, was still in the DOJ when the FISA application was approved against Carter Page. Huh. Imagine that. He was also one of the people who interviewed, quote-unquote, Hillary Clinton in the email probe. And he abruptly resigned his position at DOJ on Wednesday, February 7th, 2018, that's this year, citing personal reasons. Personal reasons. In his position, Loftman would have absolutely had knowledge of the FISA Title I surveillance program initiated on Page and incidental Trump campaign officials. And he would have been in close contact and had close association with, you guessed it, Assistant Deputy Attorney Bruce Orr. Remember Bruce, baby? The conduit for Christopher Steele after Christopher Steele was fired by the FBI, who shoveled all of Christopher Steele's stuff not only back to the FBI, who pretended they had fired Steele, but over to Mueller in that whole crap. The Assistant Deputy Attorney General, Mr. Orr, who's the husband of Fusion GPS employee Nellie Orr. Are you getting all this, folks? You know, I find the whole thing unbelievable. More importantly, I find the fact that these people are not behind bars incredible and worrisome. These relationships, which are now coming out, which the mainstream media and most media is not covering at all, zero coverage, not even a mention, not a breath, not a whisper. These are getting known to the Senate Judiciary Committee. And Chuck Grassley, God bless him, has sent now the third letter to the attorneys for Blasey Ford, Christine Blasey Ford. And he wants a bunch of additional information. This is now his third demand. You wait. They're going to get subpoenaed. You're going to see this whole thing turn. You're going to see a bunch of prosecutions here, folks. Let me read part of Grassley's letter, which just went out, I believe, on Thursday. Third one, demanding the same stuff. I urge you once again, now for the third time in writing, to turn over the therapy notes, polygraph materials, and communications with the Washington Post that Dr. Ford has relied upon as evidence. In addition to the evidence I requested in my October 2nd letter, in light of recently uncovered information, that's the stuff I just went over with you folks, please turn over the records and descriptions of direct or indirect communications between Dr. Ford or her representatives and any of the following. Number one, U.S. senators or their staffs, particularly the offices of Senators Feinstein and Hirono, other than your communications with me and my staff in preparation for the September 27th hearing. Number two, the alleged witnesses identified by Dr. Ford, which include Leland Kaiser, Mark Judge, and Patrick P.J. Smith. And three, Debbie Ramirez, Julie Swetnick, or their representatives. So Grassley's kind of onto this. He's seeing the outline here. That's a pretty comprehensive request for information and documents. Let me recount for you some of the questioning. You know, Rachel Mitchell was the Republican staff prosecutor that questioned Blasey Ford, and who, by the way, whose report is, you got to read her report. Just Google it up. Rachel Mitchell report, Kavanaugh hearing, and you'll get 1,000 hits. Read it. Let me give you this line of questioning. The second is the letter that you wrote to Senator Feinstein dated July 30th of this year. This is the letter I'm talking about, folks. A letter that does not comport with a PhD education and calls her best friend him. Did you write the letter yourself? Ford, I did. Mitchell, and I, since it's dated July 30th, did you write it on that date? Ford, I believe so. It sounds right. I was in Rehoboth, Delaware at the time. You know the beach thing, folks, with McLean? I could look into my calendar and try to figure that out. It seemed, Mitchell, was it written on or about that date? Ford, yes, yes, I traveled, I think, the 26th of July to Rehoboth, Delaware. So that makes sense because I wrote it from there. Mitchell, is the letter accurate? Ford, I'll take a minute to read it. I want you to think about that. Ford writes this letter, she says, she writes the letter, to the Judiciary Committee with, should we say, significant allegations against a very substantial guy who's in a very significant, in fact, history-determining confirmation hearing process. Never mind the grammatical problems with the letter. Never mind the punctuation, the capitalization. Never mind the fact that the letter calls her best friend a he rather than a she, and her star witness who threw her under the bus. She has to, after that testimony, she has to read the letter to see if it's accurate. Sitting in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee, 2 months later, does that kind of get your red flags flying, folks? Does that make your antenna buzz just a bit? Does that kind of tie in with the other dots I've given you? You bet it does. Now, let's get into the real stuff that'll make your jaw drop. So last week, I told you a little bit about the beginning of the show. Last week I said, you know, there is only one way. Somebody who is telling a blatant untruth could make such a convincing presentation. Besides constant rehearsal. I'm not even sure you could do it then. Particularly in that setting. And that is if they believed it. And since it's pretty damn clear, based on no corroboration, in fact, should we say the opposite of corroboration, the undermining of her tale by her own four witnesses, it's pretty clear that it's not true. That it didn't happen. Yet she was able to sit there and appear credible to the world. Even Trump said, you know, she looked credible. That can only happen if you believe it. And I suggested last week, because of her ties to the CIA through her dad and his financing of mind control projects with Melgiz, that maybe there had been some type of mind control thing going on. Well, you know what has surfaced in the last week, in addition to this other stuff I gave you. And remember, you are dealing with the FBI, the DOJ, and the CIA. Okay? They are the masters of disinformation. Just take a look at what they've tried to do to Trump. The Russia collusion hoax. They are the masters of it, folks. They are every bit as Goebbels. Every bit as good as Goebbels for the Third Reich. Every bit as good as Stalin's right-hand propaganda minister. They're every bit as good. Unfortunately, they've weaponized that talent against the American people and against the Constitution and against the electoral process and apparently against the truth and the Supreme Court and the Constitution. So, Christine Blasey Ford, who whose PhD is in psychology. It appears that Ford testified that she never told anybody about the incident until a couples therapy session that she and her husband in 2012. Let me quote from the New York Times. Dr. Blasey said she did not share a detailed account of the incident until 2012, when she and her husband, Russell Ford, an engineer, met with a couples therapist, according to a Washington Post interview. The Washington Post folks wrote a story. The author of the story in the Washington Post was Emma Brown. Reportedly, she saw the therapist's notes. You should Google up Christy Ford's testimony when questioned by Rachel, the Republican prosecutor, about those notes. I can't recall. I don't remember if I just summarized them. I don't know if I gave part of them. Very selective recall. It appears that she did not equate Kavanaugh with the attack. I want to try and get this like really straight for you so you can follow it. Until those sessions in 2012, she and her attorneys have refused to turn over the notes of those sessions, either completely or in part, either one, to the Senate Judiciary Committee or to the FBI. It appears she turned over part of them, to the Washington Post, but not all of them. And until those sessions, the name Kavanaugh did not come up. At least that's what it appears to be. Now let's go to the next little tidbit. That's a little bit of background for where we're going next. So you remember I told you about my hypothesis, the Hayseeds hypothesis of mind control. Well, it turns out that Christine Blasey Ford, maiden name Blasey, father CIA, black ops, financier of mind control projects, she got her degree and she works at Stanford University. It just so happens that Stanford University, it has been dug up in the last week, quote, runs a CIA undergraduate internship program. In fact, the recruitment page for the CIA for Stanford, the same stuff that Christy Blasey Ford is involved with at Stanford, says, I quote, you will be given the opportunity to work with highly skilled professionals and see firsthand the role the CIA plays in supporting U.S. officials who make our country's foreign policy. It appears that Christy Blasey Ford, additionally, folks, was a co-author of a study on mind control. In fact, the study's specific focus was mass hypnosis and mind control on psychiatric subjects under the banner of psychoeducation. This was discovered, by the way, in some back, shall we say, dusty internet archives by a professor by the name of Margot Cleveland. The study was published that she co-authored, Christy Blasey Ford, in the Journal of Clinical Psychology. And the study was funded by the Mental Insight Foundation. I'm going to tell you a little bit about their financial records here in just a moment. It was overseen by a Dr. Lisa Butler, Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences at the Stanford University School of Medicine. In the text of the research, Christy Blasey Ford's research paper describes methods to, quote, create artificial situations, unquote. Quote, assist in the retrieval of important memories and create artificial situations that would permit the client to express ego-dystoric emotions in a safe manner, unquote. Subjects were given the hypnotic induction profile, and she has some sites in there, to evaluate their level of hypnotizability, and were asked to complete a baseline packet of psychosocial questionnaires Assessing life events, general functioning, satisfaction with life, and aspects of mood, including symptom level, personality, health, social support, traumatic experience, and spirituality. Once again, traumatic experience and spirituality. It appears that Ford headed up groups that met once a week, experimenting with hypnosis in eliminating memory and supplanting it with new memory. Folks, amazing. Amazing. So Christy Blasey Ford is familiar with hypnosis, memory control, and planting. These are all mind control techniques by the MK Ultra Project also, folks, in a school whose department is a recruiting station overtly for the CIA, where her father worked funding mind control projects. Take a look at what happened with Kavanaugh and what happened with Trump. It's two things. It's the same, two peas in a pod in terms of disgusting anti-American activity. Carefully crafted leaks, cover-ups, media narratives. Okay, I mean, in a form, it's kind of mass hypnotization in and of itself. It is, folks, CIA propaganda and mind control at its best, deployed on a nationwide scale. And it uses the fact, just as the Trump stuff has, that the entire purpose of the establishment media is not to inform people, but to influence minds. Do you get the difference? It's a huge difference. That's why Trump says, and I agree, that most of the mainstream media is an enemy of America, an enemy of the American people. Not all, most. The Mental Insight Foundation funded another study called Interoception and Neuroimaging to Control the Mind Through Biological Intervention. The Mental Insight Foundation that funded this mass hypnosis mind control study that Christine Ford co-authored, the abstract of that study is, quote, "The process by which the nervous system senses, interprets, and integrates signals originating from within the body, providing a moment-by-moment mapping of the body's internal landscape across conscious and unconscious levels. In essence, this research seeks to find ways to control the mind through biological interventions by exploiting the roadmap of biology neural links. When the full map of how the mind interprets internal biological," it goes on here, "it allows a type of reverse engineering of the mind through interventions in the human subject." Folks, do you remember that all the mass murderers of the last 3 years have talked about hearing voices in their head? Do you understand now how Christy Blasey Ford could be so foggy and all these other elements of her story, but crystal clear, delivered with absolute credibility on the quote-unquote Kavanaugh attack? Not where, not when, not how, not who, not how she got there, how she got back, but those 10 or 50, whatever it was. The Mental Insight Foundation, folks. Well, let me just take a little sideways turn here. The Soviets and the Americans have worked hand in glove on a lot of this. Do you remember the whole incident about a year ago, maybe it was a year and a half ago, in Havana, Cuba? Where our diplomat, there were like 21 or 23 of our poor guys and gals were like severely injured. I mean, like many of them have not recovered yet, have had brain damage. And in a article by the Guardian newspaper, which talks about how those U.S. embassy workers in Cuba were attacked by some type of sonic weapons. Let me quote, "At least some of the incidents were confined to certain rooms with a laser-like specificity, and some victims now having problems recalling specific words." Remember? You can get rid of memories. You can create memories, hearing loss, speech problems, symptoms. Some felt vibrations and heard, I'm quoting now, some felt vibrations and heard sounds, loud ringing, or high-pitched chirping similar to crickets or cicadas, or voices. Some suffered brain swelling, dizziness, nausea, severe headaches, balance problems, and tinnitus, or prolonged ringing in the ears. The bottom line is that Christy Ford, folks, was personally involved in a CIA-linked project at a CIA-linked school in a CIA-linked department, and wrote a paper on mind control, particularly hypnosis. What would you like to bet that this counselor in 2012 that she went to, that they will not release the notes of, what would you like to bet that that involved hypnosis or other forms of mind control, specifically forms that Christy Blasey Ford wrote about in her paper in her CIA school? And who knows, maybe Christy Blasey Ford is in Stanford, linked directly or indirectly to the CIA because of her father's connections with said agency. And maybe all of this is known to John Brennan. Wouldn't that be interesting? It's certainly known to the higher circles of the deep state that are in or were in the FBI and the DOJ, Loftman, Orr, McCabe, Strzok, that whole motley crew. I find these revelations fascinating, and I find these revelations, this research, to be unfortunately corroborative of my hypothesis last week, because I didn't have any of this information. My hypothesis last week that there was some kind of mind control, it was somehow linked to the deep state, that this whole thing was pre-orchestrated, is 90% borne out by the stuff that I'm sharing with you this morning. And it is a frightening thing. I think you will agree. One of the passages from her study, by the way, says, a host of novel tools are capable of inhibiting, stimulating, or modulating the activity of interoceptive brain networks. Non-invasive methods include the application of transcranial magnetic stimulation. Gee, voice-to-skull technology. You folks who haven't listened to those shows I did, you should listen. You should listen to them. Just put in mind control, they'll come up. Transcranial direct and alternating current stimulation, low-intensity focused ultrasound, temporally interfering electric fields, transcutaneous vagus nerve stimulation, presentation of information during different phases of visceral rhythms, cardiac systole versus diastole, and if I said that wrong, I'm sorry, I'm not a doctor, an assessment of corticocardiac signaling. Gee. No wonder she was able to coach her buddy McLean on how to evade true results in a polygraph test, and no wonder she was able to, even though it was only two questions, able to pass her own polygraph test, which, by the way, the records of which also have been requested by the Senate Judiciary Committee and also have been refused by she and her attorneys. Here's a quote on a review of this study. The study openly discusses altering behavior and beliefs through the application of neurotechnology interference control loops that hijack human anatomy to control minds. In essence, they are modeling the neurology of a human being in terms of firmware, software, hardware, then hacking the system to install their own desired beliefs and behaviors. They even call it computational psychosomatics, and they talk about using torture techniques to force the neurological maps out into the open, saying, quote, the degree of tolerance to being enclosed in a small dark chamber for 10 minutes might provide behavioral evidence verifying tolerance to triggers of interoceptive dysregulation. Now, I don't pretend to be a doctor. I'm sure as hell not a PhD of psychology, but I think we can all get kind of the flow and the gist of this, don't you think? The Mental Insight Foundation, gee, wasn't her father into kind of financing, black ops financing? The Mental Insight Foundation took in a whopping $18 million in 2015. The address of the Mental Insight Foundation, folks, is 538 Broadway Street, Sonoma, California. Zip code 95476-6602. That's a single-family house, folks. Not an office. It's a single-family house. By the way, this is the same address that's listed by Virginia Hubble Associates, a firm that says it, quote, offers consulting services for family foundations, unquote. Its client list includes the Mental Insight Foundation, listen to this now, Cotting Enterprises, Levi Strauss Foundation, oh, gee, didn't they just come out against the Second Amendment? McKesson Foundation, they've also come out with some left-wing stuff, Pete Marwick and Mitchell, the Public Affairs Council, Sparklets Alhambra Water Company, and Science Alliance. The board of directors of this outfit is a David Herskovitz of Brooklyn, New York, Robert P. Bungie of Foster City, California, Isabel Kempton of Incline Village, Nevada, which, by the way, is near California, folks, Graham Kempton of Fairfax, California, Barry Bunshaft of San Francisco, California, Lendell Amico of Fairfax, California, Jennifer Catherine Egan of Brooklyn, New York, Laura Kempton of Vineberg, California, and Kay Kempton Walker of San Francisco, California. The Kemptons, by the way, you may have noticed the number of their names in there in that list of the board, is the same Kemptons that own the Kempton Hotel Group, and they funded this foundation with about $2.3 million in 2015. Kind of interesting. You know what else I find interesting is that every single one of these directors is either from New York or California. New York or California. I'm going to be doing more research on this, but now we have a reason, we have a motive, we have a method for yet another major crime against America's electoral process, its constitution, its values, and its traditions, and against the wishes of an American electorate that elected a president exercising his constitutional rights in appointing a nominee to the Supreme Court. Do you understand where all this goes? I think you do. I have one smart audience out there. I mean, even you liberal trolls that are listening to me, you probably get it too, don't you? Or maybe you already knew it. This is one big scam, folks. It was created out of whole cloth. So I'm going to revise what I said last week when I said something happened to Christy Blasey Ford, but it wasn't Kavanaugh. You know what? Nothing happened to Christy Blasey Ford. Particularly if you read some of the excerpts from her longtime boyfriend's affidavit and her yearbook, which was mysteriously scrubbed along with the years on either side of it. Somebody with power had to do that. And her criminal record was scrubbed, too. A whole bunch of online stuff about Christy Blasey Ford was scrubbed in the 2 or 3 weeks between the time the letter that she thinks she wrote, that she thinks she wrote on July 30th, that she thinks she wrote in Delaware while she was visiting with her deep state FBI buddy McClain, the whole thing stinks. And I can't draw all the lines yet, but there's a lot more, I think, that's going to come out. And I think that Chuck Grassley and certain of the Republicans on that committee, including Lindsey Graham, I think they're out for blood. They've been chased around by violent, shrill, nasty, rude, anti-American, communist people for the last 2 weeks. They've been threatened. There are alt-left people tweeting about murdering their families, which, by the way, Twitter allows, but they'll take down a conservative's tweets. And I think Republicans have finally had enough. And I think that this whole mess has fired up conservatives, and for that matter, libertarians, because this is just a travesty. It's outrageous. Outrageous trampling of rights. And Christie Blasey Ford was not a victim. I'm changing my idea on that, too. While she was definitely used by the Democrat socialists, the progressive Democrats, she was definitely used. She was not a victim. She was a willing player, folks. She was part of a plan, a willing part of a plan. And she did what she had to do using the knowledge and the skills and the research she has done to contrive a story as part of this plan and to plant that story in her brain so that she could deliver it with every vestige of outward appearing truth, because that planted memory has become her truth, even though it is a lie. Now, I want you to think past this one occasion. I want you to think about what these acts and lack of acts by a host of characters, including, regrettably and frighteningly, alt-left deep state operatives in the United States government. I want you to think big picture about what this means for the state of our republic. And I want you to think long and hard about what needs to be done to correct it. Accountability has never been more critical. All these people have to go down. The trail needs to be followed wherever it leads. Just like in the Trump investigation with Strzok and all those scummy players. And these people have to be held accountable. Personally, I wouldn't mind them seeing me held accountable as the Constitution provides for treason. But whatever the final outcome, the final punishment, it needs to be immediate, and it needs to be thorough, and it needs to be severe. Because if this is allowed to continue, we will have the bureaucracy running this country, and we will lose our rights, and the alt-left will gain power. And they will strip away your rights, and they will conceal these types and many others that we don't know about, of control and anti-American, seditious disregards for the rule of law and direct and intentional attacks on the Constitution until there is no Constitution. And there is no faith. And there is only division. And there is, with all this nonsense about LGBT and, you know, transgender, and now the women should throw men out, and, you know, men should just kowtow, and, you know, toxic masculinity. This is all guise, folks. This is a cloak. It's the cloak of the attack on the family. Just like the Kavanaugh thing is a necessary step, but it's a cloak for an attack on the Constitution. And just like the attack on the Constitution and a host of other acts and lack of acts are an attack on faith. I want you to read, at least skim, the many articles under the treason section, is like half the page on the website this week. Just skim them. You'll know more than 99% of America. And go to the political section, and I'm telling you, if you're not fired up now, if this has not reminded you of what dark-hearted, evil people we are dealing with in the deep state, the shadow government, the democratic socialists, the progressive Democrats, if this does not bring this home to you, this last agonizing 18 days, if you are an American, agonizing, then I don't know what will. Move to Cuba. But if it has brought it home to you, go to that political page and send some money. There's another several 4X matching things going on, 5X matching. That's great bang for your buck. You send $20, there's $120 that's going out into campaigns. We're 31 days away. 9 months ago, I told you that I didn't think it was going to be a blue wave, and I thought the Senate might be a red wave. That was in my January prognostications, which I do every single year, and then go over them with you on how well I did. Every single year, the first show after the first of the year. And you know, that can happen. That can happen with a motivated base, which I think all this dark, smelly, nasty nonsense has managed to achieve. And that can be done with you and with me and with your friends. Remember, you're going to get 10 friends to give some money and vote. And they're going to each get 10 friends to give some money and vote. It doesn't have to be local. Your friend can be in Alaska. That's a whole other thing to talk about. Lisa Murkowski. And particularly if you have friends in battleground states, certain congressional districts. I think Sean Hannity has a list of those districts on his website. The districts where the control of the House will be decided. And the Senate. Because I have a feeling Trump's going to get another Supreme Court pick. And if we can get another conservative on that court, so it's 6-3, we got a pretty solid lockdown. Unless, of course, the left goes completely bananas. And these guys on Twitter talking about kill teams, terror groups, terror cells, armed intervention, the extermination of families, and all that kind of stuff. I mean, go to Natural News. Go to Natural News, read it, and listen to it for yourself. Pretty tough to argue with the left's own tweets. Unless, of course, they pull something off. But that's going to be a thought for another show. That's going to be a thought for another show. China. China, folks. Dan Pence addressed this just a few days ago. China has been doing exactly what the Democrats said the Russians were doing. They have a bunch of, and probably better than the Russians, I would imagine, but they have a bunch of internet bots out there passing on information, sowing disinformation, sowing anti-Trump information. Remember, just as the Social Democrats, Progressive Democrats, Communists, whatever you want to call them, the anti-American forces want to control America, China wants to control the world, folks. Now, when you have a goal of controlling the world militarily, economically, demographically, and geographically, worrying about stealing other people's secrets, infiltrating their companies, and affecting their elections is kind of minor. That's just a means to an end. And when you're aided in those goals and those ambitions by the outfits like Google and Microsoft and Facebook that control, the majority of information that's available out there, one way, shape, or form. Whether it's a Google search, a Facebook post, a Facebook page, a Microsoft message, a Microsoft ranking, they control what you see. How many of you go past the first page of Google when you Google something? Not many of you. Well, when they switch their algorithms there at Google to make Chinese stuff or left-wing stuff come up on page one and conservative stuff or pro-Trump stuff come up on page three or four, 99.9% of the people looking for something are going to see the Chinese stuff or they're going to see the alt-left stuff. In other words, 99% of the people searching are not going to see the conservative stuff or the Trump stuff. Do you understand how dangerous this is? Particularly coupled with the information I shared with you tonight. You have the media. You have the tech giants. You have a well-funded, well-planned, unfortunately professional deep state hit team operating in at least three or four key intelligence departments of the United States government. You have a Democratic Party which is absolutely over the left cliff. And you have their sheeple, their useful idiots, growing ever more violent and planning extreme violence, if you can believe their Twitter feeds. This is scary stuff, and this is big stuff. It's much bigger than he said, she said. It's much bigger than the circus which you see on TV. This is deep stuff. It is, as I have said, oh, I don't know, what, 2 or 3 or 4 years. It is the end battle for the soul of the Republic. And the midterms is one of the important, I don't want to call it a skirmish, is one of the important, why don't we say this, it's the endgame war for the soul of the Republic. And the midterms is a very important, a critical battle in that war. So you best get motivated. You best get motivated. If you want to keep your guns, if you want to keep your rights, if you want to keep your freedoms, if you want to keep your constitution, your faith, and your family, if you want to keep some kind of control over a American-oriented government that's going to finally root out, prosecute, and destroy these anti-American forces within it and without it, all enemies, foreign and domestic, then you better make sure that the folks in power are in power and they have the control and the ability to do what has to be done. And if the Democrats control either house, if they control both, well, nightmare. If they control either house, they will do everything in their power to make sure their allies, the media, big tech, and the deep state, are not hurt and not exposed any more than they've been. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Oh, my producer is reminding me before I sign off here. I wanted to tell you something. I don't know what role Murkowski from Alaska plays in all this. She came out yesterday as a no. The vote is this afternoon, supposedly. We'll see. And then she switched it late yesterday afternoon. She said she'd vote present so that Steve Dane, the Republican from Montana, can be at his daughter's wedding. I mean, his poor daughter. Wow. I can just imagine. I mean, my daughter would just be freaking out if I were in the same situation. She has this wedding plan. I mean, it's, you know, and as dad, I'd be freaking out, right? I mean, I got to vote on this, like, one vote majority. I got to vote for the Supreme Court justice that is key to the future of the Republic. And on the other hand, I have one of the people I love most, maybe the person I love most in the world, with her one big day in her life that will never be repeated. I mean, wow. Tough deal. Tough deal. But anyway, supposedly Lisa Murkowski is going to vote present, which is not a no, which means Steve Dane's vote will not be needed, and Kavanaugh will still be confirmed by a majority of the votes cast, which is the way it works. But I want you to contemplate this as you think about what really motivates and who really controls Lisa Murkowski. Fact number one, Alaska is heavily driven by resources, by land, by private property rights, by timber, by energy, by gold and silver and other minerals mining, by military, you name it. Fact number two, Alaska is within the jurisdiction of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, the liberal, left, loony Ninth Circuit. Fact number three, if there are only 8 justices on the Supreme Court and it's an even split 4-4, then any ruling by a lower appeals court, if it goes to the Supreme Court, if there is a 4-4 tie, that ruling stands. In effect, you are ceding control of the state of Alaska with all those critical aspects to the state that the loony left environmental Ninth Circuit would love to just shove down the throat of the people of Alaska. You're leaving the fate of your people, your constituents, and your state in the hands of the Ninth Circuit. They will be the Supreme Court for Alaska if there is not a Ninth Justice who is a conservative. But Lisa Murkowski, to quote her, "I just can't bring myself to yes." Wow. That's all I can say. Now I'll sign off. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Think about what we've discussed here this morning. I think it's even more profound than it is striking me right now, but I know it's really profound. And it has much deeper meaning and much deeper significance than the day-to-day circus stuff that you've been seeing and listening to. And for God's sakes, folks, read that political page, send some money, get geared up to vote, get your friends geared up to vote, get their friends geared up to vote, and let's make it a red wave. Let's make it a red tidal wave. These people need to be taught a lesson. And more importantly than that, we need to keep control of our country to get rid of this corruption. You have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archive and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.